From Miss Kermode's recollection of one particular May Eve, I turn to Miss Farrica's recollection of an event which was an annual one in Ramsey before 1914 on May Day. Or the Ramsey girls was the boys, though. I remember on the first day of May how the carriages, drawn by fine horses, was decked out with spring flowers bright and gay, and the May Queen settin' there smiling and bowing to the crowd either side, that lovely herself and her attendants, that your heart fairly swole up with pride. And my, my, the procession that followed. There was milk floats and bikes and little carts massed with flowers from the top to the Queenstown, and the Scutcher children all taking their parts, dressed like Injuns and cowboys and fairies and princes and pieros and that, all waving and singing and laughing as a clown jumped up high, then fell flat. Aye, right through the street they'd come riding, and round by the market and all, then up the road towards the pavilion, where the crowd stood the thickest of all. My, the shouting and cheering that was doing as the procession paraded the ground, with the Queen in her train at the head there. Aye, them girls was the pick of the town. Just like flowers themselves, all a lot of them, with the sun shining down on the scene, like a picture by some famous painter, you know, a carnival or some such, I mean, for that's just what it was. Oh, the pant then on the first day of May, and the joys when our pleasures were simple in them bygone days. Aye, them Ramsey girls was the boys. Moving rather quickly through the year and passing by Tinwell Day without giving it any attention, because we don't need to be reminded of Tinwell Day, thank goodness it's very much with us, we go on to another event which also is kept going. And this is Miss Farrica's Hopjanay night. Do you remember little Willie, John, Neddy and his sister, big Annie Meg Kit, and they a nice little croft out in the Curraghs? For your time? Perhaps it was. I forget. Mighty spleen they was there, I can tell you, when that croft come to Willie and Anne, for some said they'd got round the owl uncle. Families is queer. There's no knowing what goes on. Well, I was coming down the road there one evening with a crowd of the Glen boys and girls, at the soft age we were, all for giggling about fairies and fanodries and spells. Hopjanay night it was, and we'd lanterns made of termits, and laws, what a din we were making there, singing and screeching at the doers till the folks let us in. But Willie John shouts, "You'll get nothing from this house. You'd as well save your win." And he ups with his fist, and Dickie Dan'l got an awful clout on the side of his chin. My, us girls would have liked to have went then, but the boys argued there on the floor, till Dick heist his big turnip lantern and fired it right in through the door. Oh my gosh, it fell smack on the dresser, where the rosy basins and jugs was all sat. "It's begins, lost way it took, sweet owl Annie, as she buries her head in her brat." Well, all those young ones cleared off down the aisements as fast as we could, and Willie John shouts, "The law, as the law I'll have on ye. Howl on, ye little dirts there, howl on." But we ran like the wind through the Curraghs, fair scared of the jail that we'd done, and I knew that I'd cop it, for me father was the same lot boy as Owl Willie John. My, my, what a drist there was on us getting back to the Glen there that night in the dark, for we'd lost all the lanterns, and us girls was near screaming with fright. Then a light flickered round some old ghost bones, and a voice said, "Hi, Yosser, look here." And me father's big hand come down heavy as he give me a clip round the ear. "Come you home, Jenny May," was shouting. "Round up your girls and all, Bob, that's right. And you boys all get going, for I butcher. My, I'll give you all hop, Jenny, night." And he had me whisked up the glen road there, with me feet scarcely touching the ground. I there was no chapel for me the next morning, but I was glad mighty, for I couldn't sit down. And when was all this? Let me see now. I'm not so young. Well, I don't rightly know, but I'm thinking it'd be a long time ago, master. Oh, aye, boy, a long time ago. This next poem is the only one of which the author is not connected with Ramsay, but it is also concerned with the old with Hopjanair night according to the old calendar. This is November the 12th by Hilda Cowan, and it has a Lonnon setting. "Making toffee? Of course we were. Was lots of bother and noise and stir. Juden had come down from Ballarach too, and me cousin Molly come up from Glendhu, and Nancy and Kerry the Millish as well, and a couple of fellas from out round Sale. For we had the day made up, you know, and the table was scrubbed as white as snow, and me uncle was watching us one and all, sitting in the corner close up by the wall in his own big chair, with a smile on his face. He loved to see young ones around the place. There were boys in the village that wanted to come. Regular Clems they were called by some, but we weren't wanting them at all. So they started to sing and shout and bawl, and then they seemed to quieten down, and you couldn't hear the slightest sound. Till just as the taffy was nearly done, and it's after that you have the fun, there was a rush, and the soot fell down into the taffy so nice and brown, and we only gripped the pot in time as a sod come down tied on to a line. The night was calabash all, but out we ran, but couldn't see one of them. You know their plan was to tie the sod so that it would drop after they were gone. No doubt they'd pop up over the hedge and hide round the school. That was the trick they were doing as a rule. But the taffy was spiled for us that night, and didn't we get an awful fright? And Nancy and Molly and the boys from Rensell thought it time to go home. And didn't I tell you before? They're married this many a year, and Juden and Kerry is living quite near." In the days before combine harvesters, when the corn had been cut, it was stored in the hacket until the travelling steam mill came round for the threshing. And the mill days were big days on the farm, because neighbours and friends would come round to help each other in turn. And this was done out of good community spirit. But when your friends and relations came, it was a tradition that they should be given a good meal or a series of good meals in appreciation of a long, hard day's work. Of course, the exact date of having the mill on the farm would depend on the proprietor of the mill, how he fitted everybody in. And this is Miss Farragher's On the Farm. "Bless me, Sal, what an auction we had there on the day we expected the mill. With the kitchen all steam from the puddings and the pies cooling out on the sill, and me up to me eyes in more bacon. Why, slim cakes and bonnocks, that's what. And Bella at the sink near snowed under with pridders and termits and that. Then himself put his head round the doorway, and, "My gosh, isn't you ones done yet?" he shouting at Cretchy. "Get moving, for the mill's on the top road this bit. Can't nobody round here do nothing? They'll be here for you know where you're at. Them cakes would have been done, Annie Kelly, if you hadn't stopped for your tea and your chat. Here, Jenny, get the stuff from the dairy, and Bella, get them spuds on the hop. Loss, I'm cussed with a house full of women with two speeds at them, dead slow and stop." "Guy, hey, was I mad? I near hit him with a lump of the dough in me fist. Wasting time indeed, and me going like the divil all day with this cowl on me chest." Then off through the door he went stamping and stood the cat out on his way, and Bella was bawling and crying the big toot. Oh, well, what a day. Then out of the dairy comes Ginny with a basin of cream in her hands, and she trips on the grape in the yard there. I flat on her face the girl lands. "My, my," she carried on something awful. "What fool left that grape here?" she said. And her brat was all covered in cow muck, and one eye was all swollen her head. Then the dog lapped the cream from the basin where she'd fell it. Good job it was tin. And it stuck to his face in long streels, girl, like white whiskers growing out of his chin. And he looked up with big eyes that mournful. The dead spit to the owl boy himself when he's preaching to the pigs there for practice. Loss, I laughed, for I couldn't help myself. Well, that cheered us up quite considerable, so we soon got the things put in place, and them men with the mill ate with relish. My, you'd wonder where they find all the space. I and the owler were smiling and nodding and "Help yourselves to some more, boys, tuck in, for there's no batter puddings and pies going than Annie Kelly's." And he gave a little grin as he said, "Who knows, before the next harvest mebbe this here'll be her permanent life. She's cooksy, of course, like all women, but I'm thinking she'll make a good wife." Well, the wind must fail. Took from me sales girl at the imperance and pride of the man. And the mill boys were yelling and laughing, and me read it like a lobster in a pan. Then I up and gives the owl devil glister. "What? Marry you?" I shouts out from the hall. "Nor if you were the only man left on this island, I wouldn't." But it was nice to be asked, girl, for all. And so we come on towards Christmas, to Christmas Eve, or as it used to be known, Eel Very, the eve of the Feast of Mary. And this was another tradition, that Christmas Eve was gone through in church, not as we have it now with a midnight communion service, but with the singing of very long religious poems known as carvels. These are not the same as carols. They were extremely long, and a bit too long for some people, evidently. Eel Very. This is by Cushig, by the way. "Do you mind them owl eel berries with the hollin' all in berries and the carvels goin' a-singin' on the night? And Tommy Danny Quilliam and Quare Owl Jude and Ilium with candles in their fisses for the light? And marchin' up the aisle, singin' solemn all the while with all the parish listenin' to them there, and parson smilin' cheerful but watchin' very careful to keep the wands reminded where they were? There was teens of candles blazin', and all the people gazing with parson's wand so study in the pew, and church all titivated and tasty decorated and tossed up middling stylish at them too, and Billy Boyd the Bithick and Johnny Bob the Kithick. Them ones was good tremendous for the tune. Pretending at a loss just to give the kire a toss, but stramping to be at it very soon. One time that I was working away at Cool na Hirken, getting holly with the rest for the day, so beat I was with slumber, and carvels such a number, that down upon the floor I slipped and lay. When I wakened by and by, the moon was in the sky, and all had gone and left me on the floor. The frightened arrow massy, I swealed like any lassie, nor durstn't move an inch to rage the door. For everywhere, behold ye, black shadows were around me, till I was just gone fainted with the fear, and true as I am talking, I saw them shadows walking, like keeping time with tunes I couldn't hear. Though being Christmas morning, or near enough the dawning, I might have knew they couldn't harm at all. For isn't that night holy that brought the babe so lowly, the very basest doing obedience in their stall? But there I lay the frightened, till one big shadow beckoned. Oh, then I clinked like lightning out of that. And coming up the aisle was Parson, with a smile. Dear me, said he, I had forgot my hat. Miss Vereker's Christmas now with the carol singers, and this is in Mackled, very near to my own home in Mackled. Yes, that's one Christmas I had cause to remember, says Grandma Neen, with eyes twinkling the sow. Out singing carols at your age, teased my Jimmy. You're no chicken now, girl, but an owl barnyard fowl. And he was right too, but I didn't let on, though. I wouldn't give him that satisfaction, you see. But me voice was the best part of me then, girl, and sometimes even that cracked and put me off key. Well, one fine night we started off at Kiljonnig. Them Scrooges wouldn't give you fresh air, even made the dogs threw us down to the high road. Near had the leg off me, the dirt snapping there. So off we cleared down the hill to Ballastrew, and good mighty we done with them ones and all, and we sing, while shepherds watched, over and over for the owl grander, laid up in bed, middling mall. Ballavurra house was as dark as the grave, girl, with the whole scutch of them at some young farmers do. But the Ballastrew lot was rail pleased to see us, with lashings of jock and mince pies and cake too. My, that jock was good though. It warmed as a treat, girl. And after that, how little John James let it rip. I crown him, he was bawling, crown him, instead of silent night, like the rest of the trip. And crown him, he was bellerin' with gusto when Flo's umbrella crowned him. Then, goy, what a fight. But little a circus it was, I can tell you. With us ones singing, all is calm, all is bright. But we soon smoothed things over and got going to the farms all above the top road. But that steep hill from the Jala near bet me, I believe is worse till the one at Tremode. So we took a rest gin the wall of some garden. And I was nice and warm in me seal cape and fur, and me best hat trimmed up with bright pansies, perched on a bandeau on me silvery white hair. Then me chignon seemed to drag a bit backwards, and a tug at me hat and a sort of little twist, and I thought, my loss, it must be that Danny up to some mischief. So I clenches me fist, and I bided me time, then loss help us if he didn't start kissing me hard on the cheek. The owl sinner, and him with a wife and five children, and he'd always acted so mild and so meek. So I give him a clout round the gob, girl, but 'twas meself that done the screaming for all, for a big, wet, whiskery mouth grabbed me fingers, near sucking me arm off. Goy, I let out a bawl. "It's begins, old Tarawash, this has got me," I shouts. "Oh, it's took I'll be to some den in the hills." And I thought, there'll be no Christmas dinner for Jimmy, and the sow loves plum pudding and goose with the frills. Then Harry Joe got a howling and dragged the crater to the lamplight. Then such laughing and cackling. "Why is that black scourge of a goat of Tom Cacken's? He must have thought pie was a nice bit of crackling." But Jan the villain had the pansies all let, girl, off me hat, and me tippet sheared as bald as a coot. "My, that'll learn you to go out singing carols," cried Jimmy, as he laughed himself sick, the big toot. But the old days was nice round the countryside singing, and Brightus and Bess still reminds me of the night I got kisses from a goat up Ballajora. Oh aye, them was costly devotions, all right. So we've come through the year, and I'm going to end with another little poem by Cushag, which is called The Little Evren. It is really not just the end of year, it's the end of life as well. The copy of Cushag's poems that I have once belonged to Mr. William Cubbon, the second curator of the Manx Museum, and he's written at the bottom of the page, "Little evening is when the sun is setting or just set, so it's twilight. The little evening. The sun is going west with me, the little evening's nigh, and clearer shines the light upon those mansions in the sky. And surely through that level light the very flowers shine more bright, and all things soften to the sight in the little evening. The years have slipped away from me like snow before the rain. I would not ask to have them back or live them through again. But thankful at the close of day, I linger on the homeward way and watch the children at their play in the little evening. The bitter writing's done at me that all should have their share and keep the gable standing yet with honest toil and care. And now with quiet heart I bide and listen to the Saurian tide that lures me to the further side in the little evening. The sun has gone away from me in lands afar to roam, and some that's gone to wait for me in that new heavenly home. I see them in the sunset gleam. They speak with me across the stream, and all my life becomes a dream in the little evening."
Thank you very much, Constance, for coming to our home to do this recording. I hope that all who listen to it will get as much pleasure as I did while making it.